Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. All right. Hello, everybody. It's Joe McGee. We're talking about heroes of the faith today. We started, one of the last things we talked about was Daniel, and what an incredible story. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Nebuchadnezzar, and how Israel got invaded, and they're carried away as captives for 70 years. And it's, it would, if you made a good movie, it would take hours to make it right. But it's an incredible Bible story, and God chose to put these things in the Word of God. So this is out of Daniel chapter 3 today, about the fiery furnace. And it makes for a great sermon. I've taught it, heard it taught. But, man, you get the detail of it. It is very fascinating. So we're going to pick up here in Daniel chapter 3, and we're talking about Nebuchadnezzar, because he'd realized that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were of God, and he bowed down to worship him. And Daniel said, don't do that. You know, we just serve the God that made everything. And old Neb said, you surely do. Your God is God. Well, Nebuchadnezzar, two chapters later, he's starting to grow in power, and he was the greatest king in the world. Daniel said he was. He's the head of gold. You are the King Tut. You're what's happening. So year after year, he added new countries to his kingdom. In every land, he was greatly feared. Nebuchadnezzar became proud of his success. Now, here's what happened. Pride goes before a fall. And nobody saw this coming, but all of a sudden, he is a proud guy. And so at his order, he won an idol made. It was 90 feet tall, covered with gold, and stood on the plain of Dura where all could see it easily. He wanted this thing big. He made a statue of himself out of gold. When the idol was finished, the king ordered all the officials of his kingdom to come and worship it. Now, he's just stupid. Hey, I made a statue of myself. I want everybody to come down and bow down. So princes, governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, rulers were all commanded to come to the plain of Dura. No one dared disobey. The crowd of officials gathered. Among them were Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. For some reason, Daniel was not there that day. It was just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar felt even prouder as he looked over the great crowd. Man, they worship me. I am somebody. I am King Tut here. And so, at the king's order, he called out, O people of the nations and languages, when you hear the music, you must come and fall down and worship the king's idol. If you refuse, you could be thrown into a fiery furnace. Now, this is made, I've heard this from since I was a kid in church, but it is so powerful when you read back through it. The music sounded, the people fell on their knees, they were afraid to disobey, for none wanted to be killed. All bowed to the ground except three young men. These that stood up boldly, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel's buddies. Because Nebuchadnezzar had made the three young men governors, some of the Chaldeans were jealous. As the music sounded, they watched to see whether Daniel's friends would kneel, you know. And so when they saw the young men standing bravely among everybody else, the kneeling princes, they heard to tell Nebuchadnezzar, O king, you have decreed that everybody should fall down and before the idol, and when the music sounded, and whoever refuses would be thrown into the fiery furnace. When the music sounded, the three governors, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did not obey you. They did not worship or serve the golden image you have set up. Now, the Bible says, Nebuchadnezzar got mad to how angry he was. At once he ordered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be brought to him. When they came to him, he asked, is it true you did not bow down? The king knew that these three were good friends and good rulers, and they'd done him a great job. Perhaps he did not he thought maybe, well, you just didn't understand the command. So he would give them another chance. Be ready, he said. You bow down when you hear the music, because you probably just didn't understand me. And so if you do not worship this idol, you'll be thrown into the fiery furnace. Then what God will save you? Bread with the three Hebrews, O king. We don't want another chance. We will not bow down before your idol, for we worship only the one true God. Our God is so great that he can deliver us from your fiery furnace. But even if he does not, we will not worship any idol. Now Nebuchadnezzar just lost his mind. He was livid. See, he not offered the young men a second chance. They didn't even want the second chance. They insulted him. So the king could no longer stand it. So he commanded the furnace to be made seven times hotter. Not that they had a thermostat, but evidently they stoked the fire, boys. They poured the fuel to it, made it seven times hotter. His bravest soldiers tied up the three so they could not even move. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not afraid. And while the soldiers tied them up with ropes around them, they stood quietly. They did not even cry out. The men picked them up and they carried them toward the furnace. When the three were thrown into the fire, the flames leaped out and killed the soldiers that threw them in. Man, we're talking about some heat, guys. Nebuchadnezzar saw it happen. He watched the furnace. His eyes grew wide with astonishment. The three men that he had thrown into the fire at his command were walking around in the fire. Their ropes were gone. The king looked closer. He could not believe his own eyes. He called them over and said, "Did we not throw three men in the fire?" "Yes, O king," they replied. "But now I see four men walking around the fire freely in the middle of the flames," he cried out. "They seem to be unhurt. The fourth one looks like the Son of God." Great preachers years ago, President Roberts, Oral Roberts University, preached a sermon on this. I heard on TV years ago when I was young about the four men in the fire, about the Son of God was waiting on them when he got in. Threw the men in the fire, who's in there? Well, Jesus was waiting on him, the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar jumped up from his royal chair, ran to the door of the furnace, and loudly called, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come out, come to me at once." And in amazement, the princes and the nobles and the rulers gathered around and watched as the three men walked out of the fire to Nebuchadnezzar. The fire had not burned them at all. The flames had not even singed a hair. There was no smell of smoke on their clothes. Yet the strong ropes that had been tied around them had burned off. The king was afraid to be angry. He didn't know what to say. He believed they were great men. He must honor them. Surely they served a great God, one who had all the power. Nebuchadnezzar set out and he said, "Blessed is your God, for he took care of you because you trusted him. Because you've not worshipped an idol, you have changed my command." The men around listened carefully. The king said, "I decree that anyone in the nation who speaks against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be killed and his house destroyed." Then Nebuchadnezzar gave the three brave men their high places in his kingdom. They got promoted. What happened? They got promoted. Guys, everybody's going to reach a point in their life where you're going to get to choose. God said, "I'm going to set before you life, death, blessing, and cursing." You get to choose. What are you going to get to choose? Life, death, blessing, cursing. And then God says, "I want you to choose life." God not only says, "Look, I'm going to set before you life, death, blessing, cursing, but I'm going to give you the answer. I need you to choose life." He gave us the answer to the test. You ever gone to school and somebody give you a test? "Hey, by the way, here's the answers." Well, God does that. God loves us. He wants us to live. He said, "With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Length of days in one hand, riches and honor in the other." God is a good God. People, if God's so good, why do things happen? Well, we live on an alien planet. Satan is the legal god of this planet. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. John 10 and verse 10, he kills, he steals, and he destroys. Satan is the legal god of this planet. He got it legally from Adam when Adam knew sin. So he's the temporary god of this planet. Now, people say, "Well, where's God at?" Well, the God's in heaven. There's a laser light show going on. People are worshiping and singing. He's not allowed down here unless somebody invites him. So I've taught for years when I taught intercessor prayer, prayer is a legal thing, not a religious thing. It's not how long you pray. It's not how much you cry. It's just asking. Jesus said 8 times in the New Testament, "You have not because you ask not. Ask that your joy might be made full." So you got these three Hebrew kids where you realize, well, we're not going to worship you. We're not allowed to do that. It started when we would eat your food. I mean, we'll serve you. We'll learn your language. We'll learn your religion. We'll learn your science. We'll do what you want, but we're not going to bow down. And they had a standard. We've not been given a command to not do this. We have been commanded to not eat your food. We can't do that. We were commanded not to. We've not been commanded to not learn your language, learn your religion, because we know the truth. We serve the real God. But if you need to learn this, we'll learn this. It doesn't bother us. And so they had a standard. So when your kids leave home by age 18, they need to know something. What is it? The word of God is the truth, and nothing but the truth. God's not going to change his mind. He's the same yesterday, day, and forever. The word of God is going to be the same forever. I used to tell people two things last forever. The people of God, and the Word of God. So it's good to get into it. That's why the Bible says, meditate in the Word day and night. Then you'll prosper and have good success. You know, Joshua 1:8, if you'll meditate in the Word day and night, you'll prosper and good success. Psalm 1:1-3, if you meditate in the Word day and night, you'll prosper and have good success. So what is 3 John or Joshua 1 or Psalm 1? God said it over and over again. Where's life at? In my Word. I sent my Word and I healed them. Jesus is the living Word of God. Came to earth to save mankind. You know, in closing, I want to mention again, people always ask, man, where did you learn the Bible so well? I said, I'll be honest with you. I've told people I went to 2 great Bible schools, but where I learned the Bible was going through this children's Bible storybook. I went from Genesis to Revelation, you know, 10 times in 10 years. And you learn, God's good all the time. And so when we ask people, you know, we've had so many people that have signed up with us and they're partnered with us and they give to us every month. Guys, we could not do what we do without your help. It couldn't be done. One is a lonely number. 2 are better than 1, the Bible says, when he's talking about marriage. But every ministry worth its salt cannot do what it does without help. So Paul would write, Paul had people that helped him do his missionary journeys. You know, Peter would write about the people. No human does anything alone. So I want to take a minute and say, partners, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for giving faithful every month. Thank you for your prayers. God has done so many amazing things. He's opened doors for us that no man can shut. We've been able to go places that just were absolutely unbelievable. We've been to the largest churches in America, and we've been to some of the smallest churches in America. People say, how do we get you to come? I said, you invite us. We go where we get invited. It's just that simple. We don't choose. You get an invitation? Yeah, we'll love to come to your church. Because, you know, sometimes it's no big thing for God to deliver by many or by few. Some great, great intercessors one time, she would just say that all the time. You know, you can go somewhere, and Jesus took 12 men, and he turned the world upside down. Because it said next, it said those who have turned the world upside down have come here also. He was talking about the 12, not the 1,200, not the 12,000, not the 12 million. Jesus took 12 men, and he turned the world upside down. So it's not the number. It's what you believe. You believe the truth. Truth will set you free. Truth will keep you free. The most powerful thing you'll ever have in your life, in your marriage, as a parent, as a businessman, is the Word of God. That's why we tell people all the time, the most powerful thing on this planet is the local church. Every believer needs to be in a local church. You need to show up Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday, whenever they open the doors. Show up early, stay late, stack chairs, hand out bulletins, teach Sunday school, usher, greet, pray, you know. Be a part of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is not some sissy thing sitting on a pew somewhere. The body of Christ is real busy. The body of Christ has always been busy. Jesus started his own staff, sent them out 2 by 2. And they would come back so thrilled, said, Lord, even the demons are subject to your name. And he said, don't get excited about that. Get excited about the gospel being preached. It's to teaching the truth that God came and sent his son to earth to die for mankind. I didn't earn it. I couldn't buy it. I couldn't work for it. It was a free gift. It's called grace. But I did need to receive it. I did need to receive. And that's why I tell people, Romans 10:9-10, how'd you get saved? Well, I believe Romans 10:9-10, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came to die for me, and that God raised him from the dead. If I believe that in my heart, and I confess that with my mouth, the Bible says I will be saved. How did you get saved? I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for me, and that God raised him from the dead. So when we go through all these Bible stories, God's doing the same thing every story in every generation. I mean, Genesis alone took almost 2,500 years. I mean, they cover some 2,500 years. The New Testament covers 70 years. I mean, God laid some great foundation. And I don't care when he started with Abraham, who couldn't have any kids, and told him, I'll make you a father of many nations. Took Moses, lift up your staff, I'm going to part the water. God loves to show off. The Bible says God's looking over the earth, walking to and fro, trying to find somebody that'll trust him, trying to find somebody that'll believe in him. So I tell people, get your armpits open, get your hands in the Father. I believe you. Father, I trust you. You are my God. I'm your sheep. You're my shepherd. I'm going to hear your voice. The voice of a stranger will not follow. I pray this every day. I pray this twice. Father, I give you permission. Teach me and my family to fear you. For the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and with that wisdom comes long life, riches, and honor. How do you get long life, riches, and honor? You need to fear God. How do you fear God? You need to ask him to teach you. And so when we cover these scriptures, these are normal people. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Moses, Noah. They're normal people. They weren't perfect people. You know, Tom Elijah said that he prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years, and he prayed and it did rain. That he was a man of like passions as we were. He wasn't some great dude. He was a man of like, he had the same strengths, the same weaknesses everybody else had. But when he prayed, stuff happened. So that's why he said, pray. Paul said, pray without ceasing. Pray all the time when you get up and you walk by the way. Man, give God thanks. Keep your mouth moving. Father, I thank you. You're a good God. You bless me. You order my steps, direct my path. My greatest days are in front of me, not behind me. So start getting thankful. And you do that both by getting in the Word of God and reading these stories that we're coming here about. Man, it's just incredible. God is always trying to show off. So let's be candid for it. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you later. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.